Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. We're going to be reading from the Old Testament and the New Testament today. And so Deuteronomy chapter 32, I want to talk to you about going from stirring going from stirring to sowing. Do I have it up there? To go from stirring to soaring. Gosh. From stirring to soaring. It has to do with the eagle, you know, and in the nest, and how mama will stir up the nest so that the eagles don't stay in their nest all their lives. They learn to fly, all right? So let's look at it this morning, verses 1 through 12. I am reading from the Message, but you follow along in your Bible, and it will say almost the same thing, maybe a few different words, but it'll not change the meaning. Listen, heavens, I have something to tell you. Attention, earth, I've got a mouthful of words. My teaching, let it fall like a gentle rain. My words arrive like morning dew, like a sprinkling rain on new grass, like spring showers on the garden. For it is God's name I'm preaching. Respond to the greatness of our God, the rock. His works are perfect, and the way he works is fair and just. Everybody say, God is fair and just. Let's try that once again. Everybody say, God is fair and just. And you can depend upon God, no exceptions. A straight arrow God. Don't you appreciate that about our God? He's a straight arrow God. His messed up and mixed up children... That's another story. His mixed up and messed up and his non-children throw mud at him, but none of it sticks. Don't you realize it is God you are treating like this? This is crazy. Don't you have any sense of reverence? Isn't this your Father who created you, who made you and gave you a place on earth? Read up on what happened before you were born. Dig into the past. Understand your roots. Ask your parents what it was like before you were born. Ask the old ones. They'll tell you a thing or two. When the high God gave the nations their stake, gave them their place on earth, he put each of the people within boundaries under the care of his divine guardians. But God himself took charge of his people, took Jacob on his personal concern. He found out in the wilderness, in an empty, windswept wasteland. He threw his arms around him, lavished attention on him, guarding him as the apple of his eye. He was like an eagle hovering over its nest, overshadowing its young, then spreading its wings, lifting them into the air and teaching them to fly. The King James Bible says in verses 11 and 12 that as an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters over her young and spreadeth abroad her wings, she taketh them and beareth them on her wings as the Lord did lead them. Don't you love that phrase that we are the apple of his eye? You are the apple of his eye. In other words, we're precious to him. Amen. We're so precious to him that he calls us the apple of his eye. So here's what I'm wanting to see this morning. I want you to see this morning is God is wanting to stir some things up in our lives in order to be able to bless us. And I'm going to tell you what, he knows how to stir things up, doesn't he? And I want to encourage you to stop resisting the stirring of the Lord. It's all for a purpose. When God stirs us up, there's a purpose behind the madness. Can I hear an amen? He stirs us up for a blessing, and he's gonna stir some things up in our lives. You're gonna see where he's been stirring some things up, but it's in order for him to lead us into the path that he has for us, so that we can accomplish what he has in his heart for us. Amen. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice in the darkness, and I've talked about this before and just a few weeks ago, in the darkness, God still moved. Huh? The Spirit of God still spoke in the darkness. And God knows how to stir things up. And he knows that out of darkness, good things can come forth. I don't know what you're walking through today, but I've had some dark times. But I know the bottom line is, since it's all behind me now, I can see where God was stirring up something to make it better for me. So I'll say this, we all need to be stirred up. How many knows it's easy to get complacent? It's easy to settle into our comfort zone. It's easy to just go along. And I think we as individuals, sometimes we just need to say, God, stir me. I think we as communities, so our communities need to be stirred. Our nation needs to be stirred. Man, we've come through some dark times, but I believe God is stirring up our nation and getting us ready for a great revival that's coming forth. Can I hear an amen? So God is stirring us up, and so many people are just asleep, or they're dead, or sometimes they're in a coma. Sometimes people come to church and you think, dear God, are they even awake? I'm not talking about naturally, although we do have some come to sleep. I don't know of anybody that's in a coma, but there have been come. I had to approach a guy the other day, and I said, now listen, I appreciate you coming to Solid Rock, but don't sit there with your head all back and sleep during the service. I said, stay awake. You got to pay attention. You're not going to learn anything sleeping. How many of those, if you've checked out, you're not going to learn anything today? And so we all need to be stirred from time to time. We all need to be reminded, you know, Paul said in Ephesians, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and then Christ will give you light. He will give you revelation. He will give you illumination. God will show things to you if we'll stay awake. Amen. I ain't even started yet, and this is good. Do you know why he tells us to stay awake? Because Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. How many knows when you sleep, or we become complacent, or we just settle in and become apathetic, the enemy can come in and surprise you. He can come in and do anything. Somebody say, stir me up. How about the rest of us? Stir me up. Let the church say, stir me up. You see, if you sit in a service and you're not receiving, you're not worshiping, you're not entering in, and you're just coming to be a nose to be counted, listen, you're not going to walk out with what God has for us. We become vulnerable to the thieves. We become vulnerable to those that want to break in and steal, kill, and destroy. But if we're awake, we can defend ourselves. If we'll stay awake, we'll be able to fight ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what, it's difficult to stay stirred up around some people. Now, don't look at that, John. Don't look at your neighbor now. That's not a good time to look around. But I tell you what, it's hard to stay stirred up around some people. Amen? But everybody remember, we need to stay stirred up. We need to stay ignited. We need to stay illuminated. We need to stay on fire. Back in the olden days, some of you might remember this, some of you may not, but the way we used to heat our homes was through a wood-burning stove. Did anybody in this building ever heat your house with just a wood-burning stove? Let me see your hand. Look at that. Some of you as young as 50. Wow, that's amazing. You know, there was a trick to having keeping that fire going, especially all night long. You know, if you wanted to not have to get up 4 or 5 times in the middle of the night and stoke the fire, you knew that if I'd throw a green log in there, turn the damper down, right, shut the front vents off, don't let it get any air, you know, that in the next morning you could get up and you could poke it a little bit, stir it up a little bit, open the vents, open the damper, and it would take off again. I'm here to poke you today. I'm here to stir you up a little bit today. Can I hear an amen? I don't know about you, but man, in the houses that I lived in the old days, the houses would get cold when the fire went out. And so when the fire would go out, that was your sign to get up and stoke the stove again. But if you knew how to bank it, if you knew how to get some coals and a bunch of hot coals and put some ashes on top of it and bank that fire, you would know that the next morning all you'd have to do is stir it up a little bit and open up and let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow on you. And it would stir you up and light your door, light your fire again. Everybody say, light my fire. Who sang that song? Jose Feliciano. Some of you all are really too young to hear this message. Now, let me put a disclaimer on this. Once you've been stirred up, it's really difficult to hang around unstirred people. Huh? Once you've been stirred up and touched by the fire and the power and the presence of God, it's hard to be around deadbeat people. I'm trying to say it nice. I don't like hanging around graveyards. I don't like hanging around the funeral homes. You'll never catch me having a picnic lunch at the cemetery. There's not a whole lot going on there. Amen? I'm not dead. Now, when I'm dead, I'll fit right in, I'm sure. I'll fit right in one of those 6-foot holes. But right now, I'm not dead. I don't want to be here. The angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Is this okay today? Can I have fun with you this morning? Amen. Well, I'm going to anyway. Some of us have been sitting in our spiritual mortuaries. We're in our spiritual cemeteries. You know, we've gotten a little cold. We've gotten a little comfortable. We like the way things are going. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose our fire. And your pastor's come this morning to stir you up, to poke you a little bit, to let the winds of God blow up on you and maybe relight your fire. Amen? Amen. Amen. So somebody say it again. Lord, stir me up. Now, people don't like it when you get stirred up. Your family and friends are going to think you are a fanatic. Once you get stirred up for God and you get hungry and you start coming to church, people are going to say, why in the world? What is wrong with you? You work 5 days a week. Then on Saturday, you do honeydews. And Sunday, you mean you get up and go to church on Sunday when you could be golfing or fishing or deer hunting or whatever? You could be doing something besides going to church. And besides that, you give your hard-earned money to that church, you're crazy. Once you become on fire and stirred up, people are going to think you're crazy. But that's okay. There's a blessing. There's a blessing in store for us. In 2 Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy, he said, I want to remind you of the sincere faith. This is verses 5 and 6, chapter 1. I want to remind you of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother and in your mother. And I am persuaded it now lives in you too. The faith of your grandmother, the faith of your mother, or the faith of your parents has fallen down into you. And I tell you today, some of you are here today because you had a praying grandmother. Maybe it was a praying great-grandmother. You're here today because you had a praying mama or a praying daddy. You're here today because somebody somewhere prayed for you. You know, we call them grandmas, but now have you ever seen so many names for grandparents? Whatever. Some grandmother didn't want to be called grandma. So she said, that sounds too old, so call me something else. I mean, I tried to look up all the names, and there was just too many of them. But Nana. Sounds like banana. Mimi. Mama, Bella. Granny. But thank God we had one of those old people praying for us. Amen? Yeah. And somebody prayed for you. You said, well, my parents didn't pray for me. Well, somebody prayed for you. Amen. That faith was passed on down to you. Now, there's a lot of talk about generational curses. These are the prevalent sins that seem to be passed down from generation to generation, and certain families fall under the category of certain curses, you know, because grandma had it and dad and mom had it, and now you think you're going to have it. But have you ever thought about this? Have you ever looked at a family and think, man, the whole family's cute? The kids are cute. The grandkids are cute. Mom and dad's cute. The grandparents are cute. That grandma looks like a fox. She's 78 years old, but she looks like a fox. I mean, everybody's cute. It's in the gene. I didn't get that gene. And then you got those talented people. You ever seen people that's like family members all from way up there all the way down are talented and gifted? That gene passed me up also. You look at now some of you are not going to remember these names, but the Osbournes, some of you, the Osbournes, every one of those guys could sing, including Marie. Osmonds. Oh, I was talking about the Osmonds. Thank you for correcting me. How about the Winans? You know, you got mom, pop, Winans, and you got BB and CC, and it just goes on down. There's how many of those? There's generational blessings as well. And then there's those generational curses. Have you ever looked at a family and you think, everybody in that family is educated? Grandma and grandpa had a doctorate. Mom and dad are doctors and the sons are lawyers. And it just seems like all of them are just, you know, professional people. And it's just like these, not only are there generational blessings, but I'm going to tell you something. There's also generational curses. Amen? You know what that means? The same problem seems to run through every family from generation to generation. Everybody in your family got divorces. Nobody kept their marriage together. Certain families had propensities to alcoholism, gambling, lust, suicide. Do you know that homosexuality runs in families sometimes? It'll run down. It may skip a generation, but it'll come down. Those things run. There are generational curses. All the women in our family, you know, got pregnant out of wedlock. What's going on? There's a curse on that family, and somebody needs to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to break that curse right now. I'm not going to live with that. Well, you know, arthritis runs into our family. My great-grandfather had it. My grandfather had it. My dad had it. And as soon as I get 60, I'll get it too. Well, why curse yourself? We're being redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen? And we need to say, I know, you know, my grandmother had Alzheimer's. And Gary and I have talked about this a lot. But you know, I don't know about you, but I refuse to have Alzheimer's. And I think Gary does too. Just because grandma had it doesn't mean her son has to have it or her grandson has to have it. Can I hear an amen? But how easily we fall into those curses because we say, well, it was in our family. No, it was a curse that was in your family that you can break. Amen. Through the mighty name of Jesus, through the blood of the Lamb, you can break those curses. Amen. Well, you know, my parents and grandparents, their eyesight went bad, and I'll probably be blind by the time I'm 50. Why would you curse yourself like that? Huh? Why would you curse yourself like that? Cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, sugar diabetes. Let's break that curse, amen? Devil, you're not gonna put on me what you put on my grandparents. I believe we have the right and the authority in Jesus' name to stop those family curses from infecting us and our children. Somewhere we got to say, enough is enough. I'm done. It's not going on to my children. I'm not taking it anymore. We got any curse breakers in the house today? Oh, good. Praise God. You know, the Kennedy family, there's been books written about the curses of the Kennedy family. And a lot of them have died horrific deaths. Many of them have died at early age. But there's some that didn't. Amen? There's some that didn't. You ought to be some of those that didn't. Amen? So we ought to, amen. All of them, but not me. It may have happened to them, but it's not coming down my bloodline. Amen. They all went crazy, but not me. I'm not going crazy. That's my confession every day. I'm not going crazy. I don't care how many times my wife tells me, I'm not going crazy. No, she don't call me crazy. She calls me funny. Somebody's got to stand up and break that cycle. If a man or woman of God does not stand up and break that cycle, it's going to go on through your children and your children's children. Stand up. Take authority. Break those curses. Generational curses. Generational blessings. The blessings that we can pass down to our children. I'm talking about being stirred up. Let's do something with our faith that was passed down from our grandmother Eunice and our mother Lois. Come on. Let's do something. Let's make those prayers that they prayed productive, and let's keep it going. Amen. Do you know you can bless your unborn descendants? You can bless your unborn descendants. Those of you that are trying to have a child right now, you can begin to pray right now, even over that unborn child. You're not even pregnant right now, but you can pray over any children that you're going to have. Rub your tummy and say, anything that comes into here is going to be a God thing. Amen. I think pregnant women ought to lay their hands on their tummy and bless that child in there and speak the words of life over that child. Amen. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Listen, can I just get a pig trail for a minute? We need to speak to ourselves. We need to speak to our own bodies sometimes. I'm trying to stir you up a little bit. I'm not trying to make you mad, but I would like to stir you a little bit this morning. We need to speak to our own selves, our own bodies. If I decree and declare something and it's established, I'll be hanged if I'm going to get out here and declare that I'm cursed. I'm going to declare what the Word says. What's the Word say? Well, listen, so yeah, I've done this for years and years and years, but Darlene used to, you know, she would hear me in the bathroom yelling these things out, but I would speak to my muscles, I would speak to my ligaments, I'd speak to my joints, I'd speak to my cells, my tissues, my kidneys, my lungs, my liver. I'd say, you're all blessed. Amen. Speak to your organs. Amen. Have an organ recital. Yeah. Cancer will not reign in my body. And if the doctor says I have it, then I'll come against it in the name of Jesus. I'll do everything I can to fight against it in Jesus' name. God bless my respiratory system. Bless my circulatory system. God bless my digestive system. Lord, stop blessing my digestive system. Lord, bless my... Where'd that come from? Everything connected to you ought to be blessed. Amen. Amen? Everything connected to you ought to be blessed. Everything close to you should be touched by the blessings of God pouring out of you. Amen? Now, whatever happened to Timothy's grandmother and his mother, it was passed down. It reproduced itself. And God does the same thing. Remember when he says, I am the God of Abraham? Isaac, he's a generational God. He said, the blessings that I give to Abraham are going to be passed down to Isaac. They're going to be, blessed on down to Jacob, and they're going to be blessed down to all my kids and grandkids. Everybody say, faith that passes down. So my question to you this morning is, what are you passing down? Huh? What are you passing down today? What do your kids see in you? Anger, pouting, discontentment. I'm going to tell you, your kids are watching you. They may be 3 years old, but they're watching you. They may be 15 and they're still watching you. What are you passing down? A controlling attitude? Are you passing down a moodiness, a filthy mouth? What are we passing on? Oh, let's just take this one step further. What are we passing down to the children in our church? Huh? Because I want to tell you something. Those little kiddos look up to you adults. I got a little girl that runs up to me almost every service and wants to jump in my arms and give me a kiss. She's watching Pastor. They're watching you. What are you passing down? Are you passing down faith? Are you passing down daily Bible reading? Are you passing down meditation in the Word of God? What do our spiritual children, what does our spiritual family, what does your natural children see in you? What are you passing down to them? Because whatever you're doing, they assume it's okay. Right? Thank God. Some of us today are getting prayers answered from our mothers' and grandmothers' prayers. Amen? Don't even know where they come from. Man, the blessings just keep coming. You know what? Don't judge me by the blessings that God sends my way because I had a praying mama. I refused to be intimidated by somebody's thoughts about me being blessed because I had a praying grandmother. My grandmother, I bet she prayed for me more than she did you, Gary. My mama's cup just keeps spilling over. David said, my cup runneth over. My mama's cup ran over, and I got wet, all right? I got splashed on, and if I'm blessed because of my mama, don't be criticizing me. Right. Amen. 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 Do you know there's some parents and grandparents that did not get to see the reward or the blessing passed on to their children? In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 says, there was many of them that were believing and standing, but they never saw the promise fulfilled. But you're here today because somebody prayed for you. Somebody held you up. Somebody believed in you. Amen? And so on behalf of all my ancestors, I say thank you for praying for me. I'll receive those blessings with great joy. Amen. Keep praying for your kids. Stay stirred up. Let your children see you pray. Better yet, let your children hear you pray. Let your children see you reading the Bible. Better yet, have family devotions. Is this okay? Am I stirring anybody? You know, when Paul stirred the fire, the snakes came out, right? Just letting you know. Keep praying blessings over your kids. You say, well, my kids aren't serving the Lord today. You pray the blessings of God upon them anyway. You speak the word of God over your children. Do you know the Bible says, train up a child. Everybody say child. And when they're old, say old. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Notice it doesn't say what's going to happen in the middle. Between child and old, it don't say what's going to happen. But a lot of it's going to be determined by what you're saying out your mouth and what you're speaking over your kiddos. Raise them upright. And before life's over, they'll come back to it. That's the best thing that can happen anyway, is at least they're going to make peace with God before they die. Amen. In the end, they'll come. Prodigal son, he wandered off, not in his early childhood, not in his late childhood, but he wandered off in the middle, in the younger part of his life. Like a lot of young people do. They wander off. Some of them go to university and they get distracted, or they get with the wrong group, or some people, you know, take on a job and they get around different people and they kind of wander off. The prodigal son did the same thing, but he came back. You know why he came back? Because his father kept looking for him. His father kept calling him back. His father kept realizing, that's my son, that's my seed, and he will come back. And he did come back. Faith is passed down. But notice, when the faith is passed down, you have to do something about it, because God told Timothy, you got to stir it up, right? The faith may be passed down from mommy and daddy, but listen, honey, you got to stir it up. You got to get it down on the inside of you. Amen? And a lot of those gifts are buried under a lot of weaknesses or a lot of failures. Those gifts are buried. In fact, I wrote it down like this. Underneath all that trash is a treasure. Say that with me. Underneath the trash is a treasure. How many knows that beneath all that junk is a jewel? Yeah. There's gifting under the garbage. See, sometimes all we see, Dwayne, is the garbage. Sometimes all we see is the junk. Sometimes all we see is the trash. But I'll tell you something. Under that is the seed that you planted. You dedicated those kids to the Lord when they were babies. You presented them to God. Yeah, they may have gotten away. They may still be away. But listen, don't give up on them. They'll come back. They will come back in Jesus' name, because you raised them right. Amen. Keep the flame burning. Keep the flame burning. Stir it up. Open the dampers. Let the Holy Ghost wind blow up on your life and ignite it once again. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to some old cold, dead, frozen church where there's no life, there's no presence of God, everybody smells like formaldehyde or mothballs. Huh? I want to be a part of a lively church. Excuse me. That is a good problem. I do not apologize. My belt's as tight as it'll go, and they're still sinking. Suspenders will work. I don't want to be a part of a church where there's a bunch of dead corpses around. What's it going to take to light us up? What's it going to take to light our fire? What's it going to take to stir us up? What's it going to take? I said earlier that sometimes our nation needs to be stirred. But did you know, in Israel, every time God withdrew his presence and the nation fell to the ground, they got revived real quick. Huh? They stirred it up pretty quick after God's presence left and they were out there all alone. Then they would say, hey, God, we're sorry. We messed up. And God's so faithful, he'd come right back in and build them up and bless them and prosper them again. That's the kind of God I serve. Darlene and I one time, I don't want to go to a movie that's boring, do you? Have you ever got up and walked out of a boring movie? Now, I know you've got up and walked out of them because there was cursing, but have you ever, or bad scenes, but have you ever got up just because it was boring and left? Darlene and I went to a show one time, and we looked around, and I kid you not, I bet you 80% of the people watching that movie had their heads over sound asleep. Do you remember that? We were on a cruise. Of course, all the old people were on the cruise, too. I want to warn you, if you go on a cruise, watch out for the wheelchairs and the walkers, because they're everywhere. But we were on this cruise, and we went into the movie theater to watch the movie, and I think most of them thought it was time to take their daily nap, because they were all asleep. We got up and walked out. The movie was not that good, but I got tired watching everybody else sleep. Listen, when we come to church, we ought to ignite one another. We ought to inspire one another. Maybe poke one another. Is that all right today? I want to go to church where the fire's burning. Amen. I want to go where the Spirit of God is moving. Amen. And so God has a way of stirring things up, and he did it. You know, I believe God is stirring America right now. Man, we went to the bottom, but I believe God is beginning to stir us back up again, and we're going to see a move of God. A lot of countries have hit the bottom, but sometimes they've got to hit the bottom before they realize that they've lost something. Amen. Listen to this scripture in Exodus 1 and 12 from the Amplified. The more the Egyptians oppressed them, talking about the children of Israel, the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, so that the Egyptians were vexed and alarmed because of the Egyptians. If you'll be honest with yourself this morning, you know, you would probably admit that your prayer life improves when you're attacked. Huh? You know, sometimes we get under these afflictions and opposition, and suddenly our prayer life improves. Suddenly I'm going to get up early and pray and read my Bible. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 32, we read it a while ago, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Let me just read you a little bit. The mother eagle takes the twigs and the branches and the paper, and she makes it real smooth and soft so that the eggs will rest in a safe environment. The babies are born in a warm, comfortable place. But when the babies begin to grow up, that same mother eagle that made things comfortable in the beginning begins to stir up her nest until the twigs and the sticks and the thorns start poking through, so that when the chickies start to sit down, they get very uncomfortable. Somebody say, ouch. See, sometimes God wants to lift us higher than where we're at. Huh? So, do you know most of us would have never flown had God not kicked us out of the nest? Living by faith is so much fun. It is so much fun. And some people are afraid to live by faith because you never know where your next is coming from. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows we will never fly as long as we stay in our comfort zone. God knows we will never step out in our ministry as long as we stay in our comfort zone. God's called some of you to ministry, and I'm not saying to a pulpit ministry, but I'm just saying God's called many of you to ministry, but you're afraid to step out because it might be a little uncomfortable, only at first. Can I hear an amen? Only at first. Because I want to tell you something, God has a way of pushing us out, amen? All right, I'm going to close with this, and in just a moment, I'm going to have the worship team come up in just a moment. There's two doors. There's two doors in front of us, and sometimes a door will close, and we will start crying with, "Oh, that my ministry closed, my job closed, my support has dropped, and everything's falling apart," and it just seems like all the doors are closing. But I want to tell you something: when God closes one door, He always opens another. Do you believe that? When God closes a door, you know, I believe the devil gets way too much credit. Well, the devil did it. 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 First of all, the devil is only one angel. The devil is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. And the devil is not the one that's causing you all the stuff that happened, the things that happened going on in your life. Sometimes maybe God is stirring up the nest. You know why? He sees something better in you. He sees something bigger in you. He sees ministry. He sees another door opening. And in a lot of places, especially high secure areas, you'll walk through one door And before the door next door opens, how many knows the other door has to shut? Am I right? If you get impatient and try to push that door down, it's not going to open. You got to wait until that first door shuts, and then after it's secure, the second door opens. Listen, folks, God specializes. He knows how to close doors, but he also knows how to open doors. And sometimes you're crying and crying and waiting for God to open another door, and God's just saying, just be patient. Let the door behind you shut. Let the door behind you click. And when it clicks, then there's going to be another one open. Is that okay today? Everybody say, that's okay. Yeah. Amen. Shout, stir it up. You see, that layoff is not the end. It may be the end of one aspect of your life, but another door is getting ready to open up. How many stories have we heard where people got laid off or lost their jobs only to find that God provided something better for them? That's the way God works. But we're too busy trying to force that second door open, and the other door hasn't shut and locked yet. Amen? Amen. You got sensors. You got to wait on those sensors. Amen. All right. I want the worship team to come up, if you would, please. I want you to come up here, and let's just get ready to enter into a moment of worship. And since they're coming up, why don't you all just stand up too, all right? Give you a chance to stretch a little bit. I'm going to ask that there not be any movement around, right, if we just kind of hold it for just about five more minutes. Do you remember back in the day when Grandma didn't have an electric mixer and she was going to bake a cake or she was going to bake cookies? Yeah? She had this big bowl, and how many know she had put in a pinch of salt? She had put in a little bit of butter. She had put in, you know, all kinds of different little ingredients. You know, she'd put in some vanilla extract. She'd put in some shortening. Oh, maybe even a raw egg, right? Some baking powder. She just put all this in one bowl. And how many knows, by themselves, those ingredients were nasty tasting. Now, I watched my brother suck raw eggs. I never was able to do that. And I'm still not even going to try it. But when Grandma's got all that in, if you just pull out one of those ingredients, it's not going to taste like a cookie. It's not going to taste like a cake. A lot of us are just looking at one ingredient. Many of us are looking at just one aspect of our life. Many of us are just looking at one area when God's wanting to put it all together. And Grandma would take that spoon and she would beat that stuff up and she would mix. I mean, it was so good. How many knows you wanted to lick the bowl? Come on, am I right? In my day, we used to lick the beaters. Get your tongue all tangled up in those beaters, you know, trying to get every little bit off the beaters. But by itself, it was horrible. I believe sometimes in our lives, maybe we're looking at the single item instead of looking at the overall picture. Can you wait until God finishes what he's doing? Can you wait until it's all mixed and cooked and coming together? Isn't that what the Bible says? All things work together for the good of them that are called of the Lord. Amen? Amen. No, I can't deal with it by myself, but I'll wait. I'll wait until that thing is stirred up. And I've gone through some bitter things. You've gone through some bitter things. We've gone through some sour things. But God says, don't worry. I'm not through stirring. I'm still mixing. I'm still stirring it all together. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time. Back in Grandma's day, we didn't have that instant stuff you just threw in the microwave. She had to little by little. Amen? So I just want to ask you this morning, maybe I'll ask you again, would you mind just bowing your head and closing your eyes for just a moment? Let's stop tasting things one thing at a time. Let's stop tasting one thing at a time. God has not finished preparing your meal. Your future is still out there ahead of you. God says, I'm not finished with your son. Stop looking at where he is right now. I'm not finished with your daughter. I'm still mixing the ingredients and I'm still putting it all together. I'm still stirring. You see, that's what we're talking about this morning, stirring. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, Lord, so that we can accomplish your purpose. And I'm telling you, even in the middle of tragedy, God can still cause good things to come out. He can stir it up and make something good to come out of tragedy. Maybe this morning you're going through your own personal hurricane. Melissa just went through Jamaica, through the Caribbean islands, and just wrecked havoc. And maybe you're this morning, you're here today, and you're just going through your own personal hurricane, and you feel things are being moved around. Things are shifting. Maybe things are displaced. But God says, if you'll just trust me, I'm moving things around. I'm shifting things around. And when I get finished, you're going to like it better than where it was before. Trust me. Trust me. I believe God is speaking to someone today. I believe God wants to snatch you from the jaws of Satan. I believe God wants to save you. I believe there may be somebody here today that's just been involved in all kinds of perverseness, or you've been involved in something that you know is pulling you down spiritually. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's something that's just trying to distract you, and God wants to arrest you this morning. God wants to arrest you today. He wants you to let go. Let him do the stirring. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow upon your life. You see, I believe everybody standing here, because I believe the Bible, I believe everybody standing here has gifts on the inside of them. Every one of you have a calling and a purpose in life. And God wants that gift to come out. He wants it to come to fruition. But there's a little more stirring that needs to be done. There's a little more preparation. Maybe there's another ingredient or two he needs to add to you. Today, let's let the Lord stir us. Let's ask him to draw us back. Let's ask him today, pull me in, Lord. Pull me in. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for every person in this house today. God, we can all use a stirring. We can all say, I want to be used. But there needs to be some things in order in my life. There's some things that's out of order. Help me to realize, God, that that door that you're shutting is only to prepare me to walk through a better door. You have a better plan and a better purpose than what we've just come through and where we've been. Would you just pray this simple prayer? Pray it in your own words. Pray it under your breath. Pray it out loud. Lord, I make myself available to you. I make myself available to you for stirring, for adding ingredients, for taking some of the things out that really don't need to be in my life. There may be some things that's in that bowl that doesn't need to be in there, Lord. It's not glorifying you. It's not setting a good example for my children. Maybe there's some things I should say no to in order to be a better example for my children. I might have to sacrifice these things for ministry. God, I want you to use me. And I'm asking you personally this morning, Lord, if there's anything in my life that displeases you, if there's anything in my heart that's not honoring you, Lord, I, Daryl Rhodes, ask you to remove those ingredients that I can serve you fully, wholly, and completely. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my thoughts. Lord, I give up my habits. Do you know that we may have habits that are not necessarily wrong, but it's not a good example for our children? We may have habits in our life that are not going to send you to hell, but they're not good examples. Are you willing to give up whatever God says let go of so that I can bless you even more? Are you willing to let go of some things? Are you willing to let God pull some of the ingredients out of the bowl and to put better ingredients in? He's not finished with us. He's still stirring us. Search my heart, O God. See if there be anything in my heart that does not please you. Cleanse us today, Lord. Just pray those simple prayers. Just pray those simple prayers. God, if I'm not living according to your word, if I'm not living according to your will, help me, Lord, to line up my life that would be pleasing to you. God, if I'm involved in an activity that's not necessarily wrong, but maybe not honoring you or taking up too much of my time, or maybe distracting me from fulfilling my gift, help me, Lord. Reveal it, Jesus. Help me to say no. Let it go. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face
toward turn your face towards me.
And give you peace.
Sing, oh,
amen.
Yes, Lord. Just a minute, Dylan. How many got something out of this today? Did you get a nugget? Did you get something out of it? Are you going to do something with it now? Is there something that was said today that you can apply to your life and help you to do better than what we've been doing? Amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank God for Solid Rock Family Church. We're family. Amen. We're family. I don't want to do anything that would offend your children. I wouldn't want to be involved in something that, you know, Paul said everything's okay, everything's legal, everything's, what's the word he used? Expedient. Everything is lawful, but not everything's expedient. God help us that not one of our young people fall because of our example. I think the Bible says it's better for a rock to be thrown around your neck and thrown into the water than to offend one of God's little ones. I pray a blessing upon you this week. May the Lord be with you. May his face shine upon you. I pray, God, that will protect you as you go to and from work. I just release the blessings of the Lord upon you this week. Favor, supernatural favor to come your way. Everywhere you turn, the favor of God will be upon you. I'm asking God to protect you from all danger, harm, and evil. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.